podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal podcast. I'm just going to wait until see if we are actually live, because it's not showing me at the moment, but I'm sure we will be in a moment. Yes, we're live. Welcome back. As you know, I'm doing some special shows on what Arsenal means to me. And you know what's fabulous? My second guest of this little new shows that I'm doing while the World Cup's on is Mr. Stuart, our Arsenal photographer, McFarlane.
Good evening. Hello, everyone.
Oh, it's so good to have you here, Stu. And honestly, you know, I thank you so much. This is your third time on this podcast. It's great.
Oh, my God. Is it? Oh, wow.
We were just talking off air, weren't we? What drama do you reckon will come from this podcast?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm bound to upset somebody, especially when I do my favourite non-Arsenal player. That's going to wind a few people up.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can imagine.
It's not. It's all right. It's not Dele Alli, I promise.
Bloody hope not as well. So, Stu, before we jump into the questions, it would be very remiss of me to not talk about, you know, where we are at the moment from August onwards a little bit. Look, 12 games won, one draw, one loss, top of the tree, 5 points clear. We go into Christmas, top of the tree. Did you think at the beginning of August that this was going to happen?
I thought we'd be up there. I didn't think we'd be 5 points clear, but seeing the progression and the signings, I was always confident that we'd be challenging. But it's early days. 14 games in. We'll see what we're like at the end of January, then at the end of February. But fingers crossed.
A lot of, you know, when we do podcasts and stuff, and a lot of people in the chat room, by the way, hello to everybody in the chat room. Yes, the legendary Stuart is back, Robert. A lot of people in the, you know, feel they're starting to believe for a start, and they're starting to think that come January, depending on injuries coming back from the World Cup and the transfer market, by the end of the January, I think more people will have a yes or a no, we're going to do this, we can do this. I'm not on that train yet, Stuart. I'm absolutely loving every single minute. I'm not thinking ahead. I'm thinking ahead because I can't wait to watch West Ham on Boxing Night at the Emirates. It's just going to be an incredible atmosphere that night, that is for sure. But what they've actually achieved is absolutely phenomenal. The only bad game was United. And here we are, top. I mean, and I keep banging this drum, Stuart, I really do. Everyone needs to enjoy it now. Just enjoy it. Because the atmosphere, I mean, look, we know that you're on the pitch, okay? Have you noticed the difference in the atmosphere in the last 18 months?
It's definitely changed. And I think it's come from the players. It's obviously a lot of it's come from Mikel. And I think maybe a couple of years ago, the players were a bit nervous of playing at Emirates because you could hear stuff shout from the crowd. But I think the squad now is full of young players. You know, there's an innocence about the squad and they want to do as well as they can for the club and for the supporters. And I think the connection between the two is incredible now. I honestly haven't seen anything like it for a long time.
Oh, I would have been shocked if you'd have said opposite to that. It is just incredible. And I do honestly believe it started at the away games about 18 months ago. The support has been incredible. I went to West Ham away last year, but I was in corporate and I was watching the Arsenal fans desperate to be with them because they didn't stop. And I think that has now bred into the Emirates. I think it's amazing because that stadium was never rocking. We had the odd match, but every single game now.
Yeah, I think the away fans have always been good whenever, wherever. You know, there's never been a question about the away fans getting behind the team. Maybe it's been at Emirates when people pay a lot of money and they expect to be entertained. It's not always been the best, but away from home, you don't ever criticise your team because you don't want the home fans to look at don't want the home fans to look at our fans and take the mickey out of them because they're jeering at, you know, because they're booing our team. Yeah. So I don't think there's ever been an issue, but certainly the noise levels have upped in the last 18 months.
But, oh,
it's
great. Amazing.
You know, I look forward to every game now, and you know, just the atmosphere at Emirates is the best, and players in and around the staff and players in and around the club talk about how great the atmosphere is, and you know, they've never heard anything like it.
No, and they really are appreciating it, and they constantly come out on social media and the Arsenal website as well and say that they're loving it. They're loving the support. I mean, you know, you can't, it's not rocket science to know that if you support the boys through thick and thin, because as you know, when, you know, we give a goal away, we're cheering straight away. Whoever's let, you know, made a mistake and a goal's gone in, we're cheering them back to the centre, you know, to the centre spot. It's never, and even Mikel said he's never heard this before, you know, and it's all breeding one happy, big, massive family. And long also, may that continue. Yeah,
also, I think we've got to remember a lot of these kids, they're really young, you know, they're 19, 20, 21, 22. They need the help of the supporters. You know, you wouldn't want someone shouting at abuse at your 22-year-old kid, would you? You wouldn't shout at your kids, would you? So don't shout at them, encourage them. And that, I mean, it's so obvious, but that's what's happening. You know, at the Brighton Carabao Cup game when we lost, obviously there's a slightly different crowd in, and I was a bit pissed off after about 15 minutes of guy behind me screaming at the players, and think, I'm like, you don't belong here. If that's your going to be your behaviour, you don't need to be here, you know. But no, thankfully, that's the minority, yeah. Massive minority now.
Massive minority, but it's not cool to do that. It's not cool to boo them off. You have every right when you leave the stadium to moan and groan because you pay your money and we'll do it. But by us supporting them and the way we have been, it is becoming, as you say, you just look forward to going. It's just an amazing atmosphere, whatever game it is. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. But anyway, listen.
There's going to be some bumps in the road.
Of course.
Nothing can be perfect, but that's where the team need the supporters to help them through it.
And I think they've realised that, as I said, someone, you know, lets a goal in, we're all cheering them. We're up cheering like we've scored a goal. Because we know that, you know, when you're down, you need support. We are, and I've said it and I keep saying it, I tweet this all the time, we are the 12th man. You know, we need to be that substitute of the whole ground supporting those boys. And we are. I have to give credit to the home fans here. We really are now. And I love, oh my God, and I wish you could get an amazing picture of this. I love the Ashburton Army. I absolutely love those kids. I think they're phenomenal.
Yeah. I've got a few, I know a few of the guys. I've got a few pictures of them. Yeah, they're quite lively, aren't they?
Yeah, please tell them. I think they're amazing. I tweet about it and I try and take a picture because I'm up high in the east and I get a really good picture of the Clock End lower. I just think what they're trying to do, you know, I just think it's fantastic. Mm. And the Clock End's never been noisy. It's always been the North Bank. So it's lovely. Anyway, let's start off with all the questions that I've sent over to you. We're going to start with number one. Basically, these shows are because there's no games to talk about. Everyone in the chat room, hi again. We're just doing what Arsenal means to me. And it's not to me. It's what Arsenal means to Stuart. So it's going to be slightly different because you weren't there. But last week we had Jordan Garrett Bryan on. And it was just brilliant. Jordan Garrett Bryan, sorry. And it was fascinating to hear how people support the Arsenal and stuff like that. So, Stuart, over to you. Why Arsenal? Why do you support them?
Well, as I said to you earlier, my dad was a Chelsea fan, but where I lived growing up, my best mate was a massive Arsenal fan. So at sort of 3-4 years old, he used to walk down the street in his Arsenal kit. He was the best footballer in the street. And I just looked up to him, you know, he was just my hero. So it sort of came from that, really. And, you know, we'd sort of sit in his bedroom and he played those old FA Cup final LPs, you know, 45 minutes on one side, flip it over 45 minutes on the other. So that's where my first sort of love for Arsenal came. It was just really the, you know, hero worshipping this kid who played the best footballer in my street.
What year was that?
That would have been 1970, maybe. Wow. 70, yeah, 69, 70. Yes, 1970, when I was
Are
four.
Are you older than me then?
I'm older than a lot of people.
I'm 53, so 71 was my first.
No, I'm 50. I'm 56.
Oh, you're a little bit older, yeah. So,
a lot older.
Because my first game was when I was 4 years old, so I was 72 right. or something like that, 73. Right. Okay, so what is your first game memory and your first game attended?
My first game memory was probably the FA Cup final, 70-71 Cup final, probably. Because not for TV, but just because of the listening to the record, listening to the LP, because I was so young then, and that's all I can't remember anything about it, but I can remember vividly sitting in the bedroom listening to a record. Don't remember seeing it on the TV or anything, but that's my, you know, I can remember the album cover, what it looked like as well. So that was my first Arsenal memory. As far as first games go, I couldn't tell you.
No, I can't remember.
You know, it would have been 71, 72 maybe. But I wouldn't know, you know, I've been to so many games. I can't remember what games I went to last year, let alone 50-odd years ago.
That's our age, I'll tell you. Yeah, do you know what? I remember someone saying, 2 weeks ago, did you play? I go, I don't know. I don't know who scored. I don't know anything. Okay, so we're going on a fan. I know you work there at the moment, but a fan. Yeah. Who was your favourite first manager growing up?
Well, it would have been George. It would have been George just because it was like there was always a bit of security around George because you knew if you scored a goal, you'd win the game. So I never ever felt nervous with him. And I was quite young then, and George was just like so charismatic and everyone loved him. So I loved George, really loved George. But, you know, I'd say the same about all of our managers now.
Well, funny enough, it's his birthday today. He's 78.
Yeah, 78. I saw that.
I still see him. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw him a couple of months ago. He does look well. Still looks very dapper.
He's that sort of guy, isn't he? Like,
yeah,
Dapper George. You know, he's just got that charisma. I met him, I don't know, about 4 years ago. And, yeah, he looked older. And I think I was a bit shocked because I still imagine him as, you know, in the 80s. And I just said to him, I love you. I just said, because we're roughly the same age, what you're saying is George was mine as well. So,
yeah,
I know we've got Wenger and now we've got Mikel and whatever, but yeah, no, I get that. Okay, so this is going to be hard for you. Favorite player to ever play for Arsenal and non Arsenal player?
Well, I've got Dennis, obviously, and then Liam Brady. Dennis, you know, I think both of them massively changed the football club. And not only the great, great player, just the way they both played, but also their personalities. Just incredible. They're the sort of players that when the game finished, you just wanted to watch them play again. You know, you can never quite have enough of them. And those two, difficult to split. I know we've had some great players, but this is a personal thing and it's personal to me.
So Brady and Bergkamp, wow, what players. Okay, here we go to the non-Arsenal player. Your favourite ever non-Arsenal player?
Well, Johan Cruyff, probably. I'm not a big the hype around Ronaldo and Messi. It doesn't really bother me. I'll just look at him, total football. And then my other one really surprised people was Duncan Ferguson.
Just because I just loved
his personality and the stories, and you know, I'd love to have seen him confront those burglars who broke into his house when he was in there. And I just think he's a great personality. Listen to him interviewed on the TV. He was a great player, and stood up for his teammates. And I just thought he would have massively fitted into our team, I think.
Oh, he was Big Dunk, wasn't it? And friend of the show, Alan Myers, I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to say Big Dunk because right. we always talk about him and his personality. And I think he came across slightly different to how he actually was. I think apparently he was a very nice guy. And, brilliant. But again, that's our era. So anyone in the chat room that's under 50, Duncan Ferguson used to play for Everton and was a very good player.
When he was their interim manager, I think we played them. It was actually Mikel's first game, I think. And I went up to photograph a game. At the end of the game, Ferguson came round to sort of applaud the Everton fans. And this little kid was waving up at him. And Duncan picked him up in his arms, gave him a massive cuddle. And then they both shook their fists to the fans. I thought, such a nice moment for this kid. This kid couldn't quite believe it, but... He was like a man of the people, you know. And I think we've got players like that. And I think he would have fitted in, as I said. He'd have been great for us, I think. We'd have fitted in with the violence.
Yeah, Big Dunk. Worst player to ever play for us?
Tricky, that one. Probably me in a staff match at Emirates, because I was the first. I was the first ever member of Arsenal staff to get a red card at Emirates Stadium. So probably me. I kicked a couple of people quite hard. I probably deserved to go after the first one, but I got a red card after the second one. So probably me. Let my team down.
Oh, and I suppose you really can't say who the worst player to play for us, because as we know, well, that would go viral, Stu, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, we haven't had bad players. We might have had players who aren't good enough for the football club, but we've never had a bad player. It was me.
I'll put you down. Okay, so who's your favourite celebrity Arsenal fan? And I'm sure you've met a few.
Yeah, I always loved Matt Lucas. Lovely, lovely, lovely guy. But I'm going with a current one who's now a very close friend of mine. It's Louis Dunford. And he can be a celebrity. I've only known him for about over a year now, but probably him, because his songs, you know, has helped create something that Mikel started and we're all carrying on. So probably Louis.
Oh, it's fabulous. I was going to, at the beginning, I was going to say about the atmosphere that I can't wait for Louis Dunford's song to come on, but they play it at the wrong time. And I can never hear the first bit. I keep telling them when they should play it and we can hear it. It needs to be at a certain time, because all of a sudden you're halfway through the song, you start hearing it. But yeah, no, he's fabulous. His new music as well, his new song this week. I love it. He's
great.
So talented. And I'm pleased that he's getting the plaudits now. Have you seen that he's selling out everywhere he puts tickets out? They're going in seconds.
I know it's great for him. He deserves it. He's so talented and he's such a great lad. He deserves all the success that he can get. And in one little way, you know, the club have helped him. The club has shown who he is, and then everyone else is on board. You know, he's got a concert at the Forum in Kentish Town in April, which I'm lucky enough to go to. And I've got a few Arsenal fans messaging me who've never been to a concert before. And they're like, what do we actually do? How do we... They've never been to a gig in their lives, but they just want to go purely just to hear this one song, you know.
But oh, absolutely.
Hopefully they might listen to some of his other stuff.
I've got his album, so I'd love to listen to it all. But I can tell you now, and I mean, they sold out within about 2 minutes. I don't think people could, and I'm not being funny, they did. And he needs to play a bigger venue. And I'd love to get him on this podcast to tell him how much he's loved as well.
Yeah.
He's just an incredible writer, and the fact that all his family have always been Arsenal, it must be just so incredible for him every time he hears it. But at his last concert, a few people put, when he sung North London Forever, I wanted to cry. I just loved it. I'd love to have been in that audience just screaming it out.
I was lucky enough to be there. So it was a great night.
I saw your pictures. Fabulous. Okay, moving on from Louis. What do you love and not love about Arsenal?
Oh, love winning games, hate losing games. There we are. It's simple. Love about the club. I think the whole club. I think the way that the club, way that we embrace the community, those sort of things. You know, we are a community club. We're still in the heart of Islington, but in the work that the club does for local kids and for all over the world with the charities, with the Arsenal Foundation, I think that's, you know, that's what the club's all about. Yes, it's about the football, but the football helps us get out, and the reach that the club does, the good that it does, is absolutely incredible. And what I don't love is the negativity. If you lose a game, you know, as we said earlier, get behind the team, get behind the club. But I don't really want to talk about negativity, because it's not, there's nothing negative about Arsenal at the moment.
No, I totally agree. Okay, so let's do best game ever and best game this season.
Best game. So you said to me favourite home game and then favourite away game. You asked for two.
Oh, yeah, I've missed that bit. Sorry, I've gone down past it. Yeah, okay. So so do home and away favourite ever. I'm glad you're so on there.
I've got two favourite homes. One was Liverpool 2004, going in 2-1 down at half time, then Thierry just ripping them to pieces, and it after getting knocked out of the Champions League that week and then getting on track, that was, you know, the atmosphere at half time was so flat. I remember just thinking this is actually a library. But then Thierry came out and ripped them to pieces, and that was just an incredible day. And then probably Everton 1988 when we won the league, Tony scoring the goal at the end, that was just such an amazing day. So many great memories. You know, so I took pictures at both the games, but still, just emotionally, they were so draining, but just so enjoyable. And then, and then away, probably Man United in 2002, when we won the league up there. You know, managed to run down the middle of the pitch at Old Trafford with the team after we won, which was quite nice. One of their stewards aimed a kick at me as I ran past him in the tunnel,
but he missed,
which is lucky. Yeah, I can understand that. We were being a bit leery. And then obviously Spurs away at White Hart Lane in 2004, which was just one of those unforgettable days that you only ever do twice. We might do it a third time, you know, you never know.
Could you imagine winning the league at their place again? But you know what? It's so interesting, because the games that you've chosen, obviously, because you were on the pitch and it's a different experience to being a fan. Yeah. But I think a lot of people would have said the Tottenham game. Forgot about the Liverpool game. I mean, to be fair, we're so spoiled with trophies.
Yeah.
This is what some of the younger people don't get. We're so spoiled with such wonderfulness of football. Obviously, everyone knows my favourite match would be Anfield 89, because I was there. And it's a lot of people's favourite match, if they're there or not. Everyone's got a story about that night. But we're so spoiled. We've had such a great run during our period of growing up with Arsenal, haven't we? That Tottenham have had nothing. Can you just imagine? Nothing. The odd league cup.
Yeah, but it's tough for a lot of clubs. You can't, you know, just don't need to single out one club. A lot of clubs have never had the success that we have.
No, but not a lot of clubs are delusional like they are, Stuart. That's the difference. They're delusional. A lot of other clubs would love to be in our position, but anyway. Yeah,
of course they would. Of course they would. I chose games that I went to. You know, I watched Anfield 89, only ever game of football I ever watched with my mum on the sofa at home, which is quite a special thing for me, because she's not been around for a few years now. But I chose games that I was at. Because it's not only just the game, the 90 minutes, it's the working day, it's what you do in the morning when you get in, the atmosphere around the dressing room, it's afterwards, you know, when you win. And certainly at Highbury, players might walk past the office and pop in and have a look at some pictures and stuff like that. So it's the whole, it's not just the game, it's like with the fans, it's the whole day, it's going for a beer before, going out for a beer after. Ours is a working day, but you can still enjoy it as much as the match day fans, you know, and their fans watching the game on the telly can, but it's just in a slightly different way.
Well, the thing is, it is, I never really thought of it like that for you. You're working, aren't you? And you have to do your job and everything, but what a job. And I've told you before that if you ever need an assistant, hello. I'll take a good photo.
A few people have asked that.
I know you say that. Yeah, but no one's as good as me. I can tell you that.
Okay.
All right. So what was your best game this season? Did we cover that? I can't remember.
No, it's probably Spurs at home, I think. for the atmosphere, for the obviously for the result, for the performance. And then just the whole, you know, just the noise and, you know, being deafened by the noise, you know, it's just everything. You get to those derby games and you think, this isn't going to be a perfect day, is it? And then it ends up being a perfect day and you think, oh, got away with another one there. So I think Spurs, but we've had some great games this season, but derby always sticks out, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. And there was a comment before saying, are you ever going to do that rant you did in the dressing room for the Amazon against Spurs? Are you ever going to do that again?
I've done my one, that's it.
Have you? Because I've got that picture of you, and I'm sure you hate it, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love this club.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know they were filming it. So, but then you didn't. Because the cameras were fixed cameras and everyone behaved naturally because the cameras were there all the time. You didn't give it a second thought. You spoke, said what you felt, and yeah, it's a bit embarrassing, but move on, don't we?
I don't think you can ever move on from it, Stuart. Do you not, if when you're out and about, do Arsenal fans not say it to you?
What, swear at me?
Yeah, like that ran. I'm not allowed to swear on here, but
it's been interesting. It's not been any negativity. It's been quite nice. I just every time people come up to me and they've got their kids with them, I just apologise for my language. You know, I just spend most of my time apologising. Sorry. but they did cut some of the words out, thankfully. But
there more? Okay, and then one other question I've never asked you. Was that the first time you've ever done that?
I spoke to the team. This obviously didn't work. Before the Unai asked me to speak to the team on the pitch the day before the Europa League final. And I just said about being at Palmer, being in Copenhagen, what it meant to me, but it didn't work, did it? So,
But that wasn't televised, so that doesn't count.
No.
The first thankfully. Time you did it. The first time you did it was first.
I didn't swear in that one either. Too embarrassed.
Well, you should have done, maybe. You might have done something for them, but anyway. okay, so we've done the best game this season, Spurs. I think most of us in the chat room, what's your best games? I should have said to you, all of you, you can answer along with the questions. You can answer the questions along with Stuart, and later I will throw some questions at Stuart. So don't ask now, because we've still got some more to ask him. Okay, I've said unsung hero.
Oh, you missed that worst game of it. You missed worst game of the season. Come on, Amanda.
Honestly, I've had one of those days, Stu. Thank God you're here. worst game ever and worst game this season.
Worst game ever, Champions League final. Because we deserved to win it, and it was heartbreaking. It was just a heartbreaking day. But at the time, I thought we'll be back soon, because I just couldn't see us not getting back. But and then obviously we haven't. But you know, we'll get there in the end. And worst game this season, Southampton away was bad. But playing so well at Old Trafford. And not winning and losing was hurt so much because we deserve so much. The last couple of seasons we've gone up there, we deserve to win. And getting nothing up there really sticks in the throat. So that's the worst for me. And it's not bad. It's two games we haven't won this season. And then there's the two that I don't like. It could have been a lot worse, couldn't it?
Well, it could have been, but Lynn's agreed with you. She said Southampton. But just a little comment, just want to go back on what Robert said. I tell you, it really hit a nerve what you said. You spoke from the heart and you spoke with what every Arsenal fan connected with. Thanks, Robert. That is it, Stu. We all loved it. I mean, the fact that I was looking at it going, oh, my God, he's been on my podcast and he's doing this is incredible. I loved it. And we are all proud of you. We are, honestly, we are. because we know that you love the club as much as we do. It's not just a job to you. But anyway, so worst game, I'm sort of, okay, Southampton, yes, I get. It was frustrating. Man United have become a bit of a bogey team for us now because, as you're right, we should have we deserved to win a couple of times recently. But it was just one of those games. When they chalked the goal off Ødegaard, you know, when he apparently... Yeah. Fouled. I mean, it's a joke. That in the World Cup would be given a goal straight away, wouldn't even looked at VAR. But, you know, swings and roundabouts with VAR, isn't it? It was, as Carl Stark said, it definitely was a kick in the teeth. But Southampton, we were appalling. One half, we were just so poor. We were lucky to get a draw. But what was good, in a way, we would have lost that game two seasons ago. We would have lost it, and we didn't.
And Southampton have been a bit of a bogey team for us as well. You look at the results in the last 6-7 years down there. We've never really done that well. I don't understand it. It's not a hostile atmosphere. It's a good pitch. You just can't put your finger on it. But look, you'd rather have a bad day at Southampton than a bad day at White Hart Lane, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, yeah. Don't. So worst game ever.
We said that Champions League final.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay. So, yeah.
You have had a bad day, haven't you?
I have really had a... Stuart, do you want to interview me? It might work better. You ask me the questions. Champions League final. So, I've only ever been to one European away game ever. And that was it. And honestly, I remember leaving that ground in the rain. I can talk. I didn't speak to anybody. I had the ump. Like a miserable teenager, got back on the plane. Everyone was late, so we had to wait on the tarmac for everybody. I did not speak till I got back to Stansted. I was so gutted because Lehmann, Perez, but it was just awful. Just so sad. Yeah. And Thierry Henry, one-on-one, you just know he's going to score, and he didn't. It just wasn't our day. I've never really thought about my worst game ever. I've got a few. I'll tell you where I cried. Gascoigne in the semi-final in 91 or 92. I never know which one it is. And the ball just went past me at Wembley like that and Seaman slipped and, Jesus. It has to be against them, doesn't it? That's the only thing.
I just think it's the biggest prize, though, isn't it? You know you can win the Champions League final. You might not ever get another opportunity, but I believe that we will. But it was all there. You know, how many goals did we concede to the final? Like hardly any, or if any. So it's opportunity missed, but never did I think we wouldn't get back. I thought we'd get back the year after, and the year after, and the year after. But that's football, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no, I didn't think like that. I think it was because it was the only time we'd ever been there that I was excited to go. It was such a letdown. It really was. But I truly believe that UEFA or whoever is in charge wanted Barcelona to win that game. I really truly believe that. I'm not saying, you know, that anything to do with the referee, but I think they were happy that Barcelona won it than us. But anyway, unsung heroes. Yeah, I've got this feeling. It was all set up with all their, anyway, it doesn't matter. Unsung hero, right, of years ago and of now, okay?
Right. This doesn't have to be a player, does it?
Yes, Arsenal unsung hero player.
Oh, right. See, I'll give you a couple of staff and then I'll give you a couple of players. I'll go for Ken Fryer, who's our life president now, who basically created the culture in this football club. Most amazing man I've ever met. Just a great help to me in my life through good times and bad times, and a great custodian of the football club. Loved by everyone, just the standards. His standards are absolutely impeccable, and never really wanted to be in the limelight. Just got on with it, everything, you know. Just an absolutely unbelievable man. I'd love him to bits. And then a dear friend of mine who we lost a few weeks ago, called Steve Braddock, who is the head groundsman at Highbury, and then at the training ground, who basically revolutionised football pitches around the world with the work that he did. And someone like Steve, isn't lauded enough, even though he isn't amongst his was amongst his profession. But the reason I truly believe the reason that the Premier League is such a great thing now is down to him and down to the way that he revolutionised pitches and made it possible for players to play the way they do on the pitches they do now. You know, he came in and virtually every pitch in the country was a quagmire, and it's just his work. Everyone copied him. Everyone followed him. He nurtured groundsmen. He went off to work at Real Madrid and all over the world. So massively unsung, and a dear friend of mine who's not around anymore.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a true unsung hero, isn't it?
Yeah. Player-wise, it's difficult to, you know, I could say now, at the moment, I could say Ben White, because he's not getting the sort of media and football praise that he should do. And for me, he's probably been one of our best players this season. Great footballer. At the moment, unsung, but there's a few who aren't getting a lot of publicity. Big Gabby's not getting a lot of plaudits, only because William Saliba is the one that people have got a big song about. So we've got a lot of unsung heroes. I'd go back to people like Gilberto, Gilles Grimondi, people like that, you know, who were just, you know, not flash, got on with the job, never let anyone down. You know, Steve Bould as well, another one. You know, not the superstars, but never really wanted to be, just got on with their jobs, did the best for the club. Like Mr. Fryer and like Steve Braddock.
Yeah. When Jordan said last week, I can't remember who he said, mine's always been Gilberto. We didn't realise what we had until he left. You know, it's always been Gilberto for me.
Do you know what? It was until he got injured, because he had that back injury that kept him out for ages. And then I remember at the time, fans were saying, Jesus, we're really missing him, aren't we? And he was out for a few months with a really... I can't remember what he did to his back, but he was wearing a back brace for ages. And then he came back and it was just like, everything's sorted now because Gilberto's back. But yeah, he was incredible, incredible footballer.
This happened last week. I can see a lot of people saying Cazorla. I said it last week. I don't think he was unsung. I think everyone raved about him. It's funny, but people have said it this week, like they said it last week.
Maybe that's in the sort of football media. Maybe it's not amongst Arsenal fans. But Santi, what a player. Still don't know if he's left-footed or right-footed. Still don't know.
He's both.
No.
He's both. He's just wonderful. Oh, I love Santi Cazorla. Yeah, there's quite a few unsung heroes, especially, in the actual club as well as football. And I never really thought about it like that. But Ken Fryer's been there for as long as I've been there. And always, I've only ever seen him once or twice. Always seemed very decent, I have to say. He's definitely a Mr. Arsenal, isn't he?
He's been there longer than you've been alive, Mr. Fryer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know Arsenal without him, to be honest.
No. Why? It'll be a sad place when he's not around.
Yeah. And you're talking about Ben White. Obviously, we've seen the news today that he's left the England base. He's come home. Something's obviously happened. We just wish him well. We don't know what's happened. And hope he's okay, you know. But he's definitely one of the fans' favourites. That is for sure. Okay. So, favourite chant over the years?
There's a few, actually. I mean, obviously the Saliba one at the moment is fantastic. I know it's a bit boring, but 1-0 to the Arsenal. I was in Paris when it first started, and I know I can remember the exact moment when it started. Half time against PSG, it was incredible, and it was so funny. Even though I think we drew the game in the end, didn't we? So that one, and it's an old one, and I still love it when we win 1-0. It always reminds me of, you know, back in the day with all those years only ever winning 1-0, just all to have a little chuckle to myself. And and then the Emmanuel Petit song, he's blonde, he's quick, his name's a porno flick. I just love that. Whoever made that up
is genius.
It makes Lennon McCartney look a bit average, isn't it? Just so perfect.
But that chant and many others, I sit there and go, who even thought about his name's a porno flick? I mean, it's just fantastic. So,
well, someone who watched a bit of porn probably, I would have thought.
No comment. But I love very, very, I love the clever ones. Oh, the Saliba's fantastic. And what we love about the Saliba one, it winds up all the pundits as well. A lot of talk sport go, oh, they're not saying that song, gang, because it just goes on and on and on. But Vieira was my one.
There's been so many good ones, but those are the ones who spring to mind straight away for me.
Yeah, nice, cool. I forgot about Emmanuel Petit's one. Right, so now we're doing right. You are going to have to answer this. Your favourite ever goalkeeper, defender, midfielder, and forward.
Goalkeeper David Seaman. Defender Tony Adams, midfielder Liam and Patrick Vieira, and striker Dennis.
Right, so me and you've got 3 out of 4. So my striker was Ian Wright. You can tell we're the same age with Seaman and Adams. I can tell you that.
It's a tough one.
Stuart, as much as I like you, you can't have two. So you've got to choose Brady or Vieira.
Oh, go Brady.
I thought you would. It's and your forward was Dennis, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Who else?
So, yeah, I know. My my other half is always Dennis. Mine's always been Wrighty. When you were working at Arsenal, obviously, when Dennis was there, what was he like? Was you just like in awe?
I think at the time I was a bit, yeah. I think Dennis was probably one of the few who I was always nervous around. Even when he came back for his statue, I was nervous. And he could tell that I was nervous, so he was just taking the mickey out of me. But, you know, I still keep in contact with him. You know, it was 20-odd years ago, so I was quite, sort of fluffed my lines a few times talking to him, but it wouldn't be the same with other players at the time. But I think he just played on it and took the mickey out of me for it. But I remember had a great relationship with him. And do you remember we had a game? We had the sort of Dennis Bergkamp day at Highbury. I think it was against West Brom. And he came on a sub that scored. And he came off the pitch at the end and he hugged me. And I thought, oh, my God, he's only ever shook my hands. He actually hugged me. I couldn't believe it. Thought, this is it. If I die now, I'll die a happy man.
Absolutely.
Hugged by Dennis Bergkamp.
Hugged by Dennis Bergkamp.
I know.
It's just even to think it, you know, even to think that. Okay. They're mainly the questions. I've got a little quick fire round that you don't know about. So let's go. Quick fire round. Bergkamp or Omri?
Bergkamp.
Perez or Overmars?
Perez.
Saka Martinelli?
Emil Smith Rowe. I'm not choosing.
I didn't think you would actually.
Bicayo Martinelli. There we go.
Highbury or the Emirates?
Highbury.
Okay. England to win the World Cup or Arsenal to win the Champions League?
Arsenal to win the FA Cup. Arsenal to win anything.
Anything over England to win the World Cup.
I'm not a fan of international football, I'm afraid.
No.
Doesn't bother me whatsoever.
No. Okay, so this is the film, okay? Fever Pitch or 89?
89.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Graham or Wenger?
Arsene.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Well, that's that. See, these really are for questions that are just normal fans. You're not normal, Stu.
No, I am.
No, to be hugged by Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah. I am a normal fan. I'm just lucky that I work for the club and I take pictures.
Yeah, lovely. Oh, I'd love your job. Phil was hugged by Lauren at Old Trafford after we won the double. There we go. Who was your... Was anyone else hugged? I've been hugged by a few when I did the interviews for Arsenal Fan TV at the 89 premiere, like you do. I had a few hugs there. And David O'Leary hugged me. And that was so lovely. I know. I hadn't seen him for many, many years. Anyway, right. So a couple of other bits, Stu, before we get you to, before I let you go. I know you're not into international football, but what have you thought about this World Cup and who do you think's going to win it?
I haven't really watched much of it because of work and because the 7 o'clock kickoffs coincide with bath time and bedtime story time for my little boy. But I think probably Brazil, I think. But I haven't seen enough. I haven't seen every team play. But it would be lovely for the, if it's not, I'd like the team which has got some Arsenal players in it to win.
Yeah, but, we're all like that. And any time an Arsenal player plays, like Xhaka played for Switzerland or Jesus and Martinelli for Brazil, and you know, and then you got Thomas playing for Ghana, you feel like you just want that team to win. It's just a weird feeling. And then Saka obviously had a great start against Iran with England. And it's like it's our boys, isn't it? They're just ours. And you're just like, right. So you're going Brazil, which really weirdly, Jordan went for Uruguay. I've got no idea why, because I don't think anyone I know has said that. But I'll put you down on my list because we're going to see who's going to win it. You're going to go Brazil. Can't call it at the moment. It's a bit mad, the World Cup. Right. We're going to talk a little bit about this season now. So, what have you been doing? Because obviously since we've broken, Wolves away was the last game. I've sort of lost my dates and where we are. You said you had a couple of days off, but what's the itinerary now? The guys in the chat room want to know, you're going to Dubai with the team. What's happening?
Yeah, so the team, a small group came back on Monday. So I've been at Colney for a few days this week. And then we travel on Sunday morning. Got two games in Dubai. I think we're there for 10 days, then come back. And then we've got obviously Juventus, and we're sort of back really. We're sort of back properly. I don't know when all the players are back from the World Cup, but I'm sure they'll be back. I'm sure they'll be back for sort of Christmas and Boxing Day. And it's just straight back into the season.
Well, I think the World Cup final is on the 18th and we play Juventus on the 17th. So we could have a lot of our players back, most of them, that week. You know, it depends when they get knocked out, I suppose. So you're off to Dubai Sunday.
So which is going to be great. Which is warm weather training, a couple of games. It's quite relaxed. We went there. We had the same hotel, did the same thing earlier on in the year, which is fantastic. And we came back and we won a lot of games afterwards. So hopefully it will be the same again this year.
So will you get to go and see any of the World Cup with our players or not? Are they not doing that?
No. Well, we go straight into training and then games. So we'll probably watch a bit on the telly maybe, but we're lucky that we can take our families with us. So obviously we fly separately, but my partner and my little fella are coming over for a few days. So he can't wait, run around on the beach and jumping in the swimming pool with all the other families, kids and stuff. So
it's a working
trip, but we get quite a bit of family time as well, which is fantastic.
Okay. So Richard Wastey, welcome to the show, wants to know, how did Stu get his job at the club? Now, the thing is, I know because he's been on the podcast. This is his third time, but I'm going to let you explain, Stu.
I bribed Ken Fryer. No.
No, Stu, you know what's going to happen, don't you?
I work for a local agency.
This is a joke. That was a joke, people, because it will just go into the media.
I worked for a local agency in Islington called Colour Sport. In 1989, Arsenal were looking for an agency to shoot some games for them. And they came to us because we were quite local. And I started shooting games for them then. And then as it progressed, they wanted more done, more games covered, home games and all the away games. And then it came down to they're looking to about building a new stadium. They wanted someone in house who could record it all, and they just came to me and asked me if I'd like to do it. So it was, you know, right place at the right time, really.
Fabulous, isn't it? I wish I was the right place, the right time. okay, so coming into Boxing Night, okay, we've got West Ham at home. And then obviously it just doesn't stop, does it? It's very busy over the Christmas period, then January and stuff like that. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think we can win the league? No, okay, I'm not going to say do you think. Do you think we will win the league?
I don't know. We have to see where we are. As I said, end of January, see where we are. See how fit the players are when they get back. Like, I don't know. I'd never say we will or we could. I just think, let's just see. You know, I just take pictures. I shouldn't be commenting on whether we will or not.
I know, of course. God, could you imagine? It's just, you know what's fabulous at the moment, Stu, is that we're all now looking at Man City's results, where a year ago we'd be looking at sort of like Everton and, you know, United and trying to keep up and trying to Tottenham. And now we're looking at City. We all went mad when Brentford beat them, you know, and it's just so fabulous to be there.
It's early days. It's a long way to go. I think as long as we keep winning games and the players keep giving me good pictures, I'll be very happy.
Yeah.
So let's hope we get some good pictures from now until the end of the season.
What's your favourite picture this season that you've taken? Have you got one that you love?
Oh, that's true. I've used it a few times. There's a picture I took on pre-season with Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka holding hands during a drill, which is meant quite a lot to me at the time and still does. Like, shows sort of unity and stuff. So probably that. But as far as match stuff, there's been some lovely celebrations. I think Granit kicked a corner flag that flew past my head against Tottenham, I think it was, which is quite funny. I managed to duck, hit me on the shoulder. But there's been some nice pictures this season. I've been, you know, right place at the right time. Been quite lucky.
So how do you find it? Obviously, the second you post on your Instagram or Twitter or wherever you post on social media, they go viral within seconds. Everyone's got them all over their socials.
Yeah, it's just nice to that. You know, I work for the club, but I also take pictures for the supporters. So it's nice. It's nice that people like them and comment on them. I work for everyone involved, as I said, the club, the players, and the supporters as well. So if they like them, that's great. If people didn't repost them or like them, then I'll start to think maybe I should try and do a different job.
Oh, no, they love your photo. And your photos are great. They really are. I forget. I just see you as Stu, the fan who works at the club, but you're actually a fantastic photographer. And some of your other pictures of non-Arsenal are just beautiful. You just get the best pictures, honestly. I'm not just saying that because I love your pictures. I'm always sharing your pictures, always. Right, Phil Mecca wants to know, question, where is Stu during the matches?
Pit side. Depends where we are. At home, I do follow Arsenal's attack both halves, and I sit on the west side, the tunnel side of the stadium. But at away grounds, it varies where they put you, where you want to sit. Myself and David, there's two of us here. We share up, we divvy up where we sit, so we cover everything if we can. But home, we generally sit in the same spots unless we've got a new player playing or we have to do stuff on certain players. But yeah, it's Arsenal attack. Generally, because generally we win, don't we? So that's where the big pictures are.
Generally. At the moment, yes, it is. Thanks, Phil. Lynn Simpson. Hi, Lynn. I just want to actually say something else. And Miss Melina was in the chat room before. I hope she's still here. She's been very poorly. So it's fantastic to see you well, Miss Melina. And keep recovering well and take it easy. Lovely to see you back. Right, Lynn, I love the picture you take. If Arteta is as you see the real him after the match, Oh, I love those pictures of Arteta.
What's it? Oh, right. Yeah. He's a great, I love him. He knows it as well. But he's as emotional as we all are. And you can tell it from the pictures.
Do you know what's interesting? Do you remember when you first came on, there was so much with the Arteta out. The second time you came on, there was still that. Now, there's just none of it. But I don't think he's any different. I think he's still the same passionate manager that he's been. Not from, obviously, he's grown into it and he may do things slightly different, but day one, I've supported him.
I think the All or Nothing documentary let the supporters see what his personality was like. I think that really helped as well, because if you know him, you know what he's like. And then on the outside, obviously in press conferences, managers are going to be quite guarded. You don't see the real personality, but certainly from All or Nothing, you can see exactly how emotional he is, how much he loves the club. So, yeah, but I saw that when he was a player. I saw it from the moment he walked in the door as a manager, which is why I've always supported him.
No, absolutely. And I love him so much. I'd love to meet him one day. Please tell him how much he's absolutely loved, Stu. Honestly, he really is. And that documentary changed quite a few people's view on him, that's for sure. A couple of people want to know, right, Andy Love. I don't know what it means, but you probably do. What are Stuart's favourite DSLR and compact cameras?
I use Nikon D5Ss. They're a little bit old, but they're perfectly adequate. I'm not one of these camera buffs who needs to get every time a new camera comes out, they need to get a new camera. If something works, you understand it. That's perfect. And then I haven't really got a compact camera. Do you know what? I use my iPhone quite a bit for stuff. The quality's great. So you can't use it for action or great, you know, portraits but you know, we shoot stuff on it that we post. So those two really. Oh, I've got an old Leica as well. I've got, and also he might appreciate it, I've got a 35-year-old Leica, which I haven't got any film for, but it's a purist camera, that one is. That's what a lot of photographers like to say they've got, but I don't use mine.
Oh, okay. There we go, Andy. I don't know what DSLR means, but Stu obviously does. A couple of people in the chat are asking about ESR. Is he back in training?
Well, wait and see, won't we?
Oh, Stu, don't worry. It's only me and you. No one's watching, listening. No one's going to leak it to the media. Robert wants to know, can you ask Stuart, can he see ESR possibly playing in the number 8 position?
I'm a photographer, you know, not a coach.
I knew you were going to say that.
We'll just leave it to the manager. I mean, I think he can play in a lot of different positions because he's such a talented footballer. But I think if he is fit, if he's going to play over the next few games, he might get the opportunity to play in different positions because obviously there's quite a few players away. But I'm looking forward to seeing him back playing. I think he's a wonderful footballer.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see him. As they say, it'd be like a new signing. Gunners 007 Raven, was photography your first love? What would you do if you were not working at the Arsenal?
Yeah, it was. Well, football was. And then my mum said to me, yeah, I mean, football was. And then I got into photography, and my mum said to me, you never get a job in football, so go and get a job in a bank or be a policeman like your father. And I was like, oh my God, I don't fancy that. So yeah, it was my first love. My first love that I remember. I mean, yeah. It was the only thing I ever was ever any good at, photography. Photography and art wasn't, you know, my education sort of slipped through my fingers a little bit. I spend most of the time looking out the window.
Gazing. But you're quite creative then, aren't you?
Yeah, I wanted to be a painter. I went to art school and did fine art, which I loved, but then realised there was no real jobs in it. So I went back to art school again and did photography and thought, maybe I can get a job, you know, which I managed to get a job in the end.
Oh, so all in all, Lynn wants me to ask you this question, but I know Lynn what he's going to say to this. Stuart, would you like to see Mudryk at the club?
I don't even know who he is. I've never seen him play. I see stuff on social media. I've not even seen him play. I don't, you know, when it comes down to transfers and stuff, I don't even bother asking anyone.
No, of course you don't.
Because what I don't know, I can't tell. And I don't look, you know, you can look at showreels of players and they can make, I mean, they could probably, YouTube could probably make me look like a good footballer. So, you know, until the players walk through the door, you know, or I'm told they're signing.
Yeah.
Okay,
so Pud said, Stu, I still laugh remembering your face when Jose and Arsene crossed paths at the Community Shield, refusing to shake hands. What's this story?
Yeah, it was caught on camera. It was after, I think it was Community Shield. Was it FA Cup? I can't remember what game it was, but they walked. I think Jose stood at the bottom of the steps waiting to shake the players' hands and Arsene just completely custard pied him. And I just walked past the TV camera with a big smile on my face. So I just saw it happening. It was a very funny moment, but it's just Arsene. You know, Arsene probably didn't mean to do it. He probably just was completely oblivious. But I just looked at it and it did make me giggle. It still does now.
It makes him laugh as well. I'm going to ask you one last question, then I'm going to get you out. You've been here over an hour. Thank you so much. Phil Macker, question. Now Ober is gone. Have all the prima donnas left the club?
Oh, no, I'm still here.
You remind me of a politician, do you know that? But we can't. It is unfair to put you in certain positions and ask you certain questions, because what people don't know is every time he comes on, someone picks something out he says and it just goes viral when he gets so many social media tweets and, like, gets picked up. So Carl Stark says, I don't believe we're signing anyone until Stuart takes their photo.
Well, David Price is around as well. Very competent photographer. A few years ago when we were going to sign Petr Cech, I went to Glastonbury and then I just got loads of abuse on social media. Why are you at Glastonbury? We're not going to sign Petr Cech if you're not at the club. I was like, oh my God, please let me have 5 days off getting drunk in a field in
Glastonbury.
Somerset.
Oh, it's funny, isn't it? Right. Are you okay for another minute or so, or do you need to go?
Yeah, of course. No problem at all.
You're so cool, you are. Right, people, get some questions in. Not about players, because he's not going to answer it. Robert Stevens, in the documentary, Josh Kroenke was quite popular. How do you think it's improved his image to the fans?
Popular. I hope it has, because Josh is a really good guy. He loves the club. He loves his sport. You know, he comes over quite a lot to see Mikel and to see the players. He's got good relationships with everyone. He's interested. He always stops for a chat with me. And I thought, in documentary, I thought he came over really well. And that's him, naturally. That's not false or anything like that. So, you know, and they've spent a lot of money. We've bought a lot of players. So, I know, for me, I think I like him. I think he's a good guy, really good guy.
Yeah. He did come across really well, I have to say. I started to warm to him, for sure. I wasn't sure before then. I can't hold my hands up and say, yeah, I've always liked, supported them. But yeah, they have spent a lot of money, and you can see that he generally wants us to win, you know, and that's lovely. One question I've not asked you before. We talk a lot about Mikel, but obviously Edu plays a massive part as well. What's he like as a character?
I don't think Edu's changed since he was a player. He's always got a smile on his face, very positive. You know, just a lovely, lovely guy. And obviously, just look at what he's done. And it's great that he's at the club. And I love it that we've got ex-players back who know about the club. You know, obviously Jack's back now, Edu, Mikel, Pear. It's so great to have people who understand the club back there as well. So, yeah, I've always got on with Edu since the moment he first came over all those years ago. So it's great for him to be there. And always get another one I always give a hug, massive hug to when I see him, whatever day it is.
I bumped into him at the Etihad last season. It wasn't going too well then. Do you remember that game? I think we lost about 6-1. I can't remember. It wasn't great, but the fact that I even got a chance and I got a picture with him, so he was really nice. Obviously, he didn't understand a word I was saying, probably, but
no, he does. His English. No, look, he does. His English is.
He looked to me like I was a bit mad, Stu, because I said to him, "You need to sort this club out." And he sort of looked at me, and I went, "Bye. Let's hope we win at the Etihad." Well, we didn't. right. Can you imagine me? Phil Macca would love. Oh, hold on. No, that one. Stu, what is your favourite Highbury memory?
I would say probably my first day as a full time member of staff when I sat and had my packed lunch in the East Upper while the groundsman was cutting the pitch. And all I could hear was the lawnmower. I think me and the groundsman, Steve Braddock, were the only people in the stadium. Wow. And I just sat there and thought, wow, this is... Because I'd only ever been in football grounds with crowds in. I'd never been in an empty football ground. So that was one of them. And just really walking into the marble halls or standing at the bottom of the tunnel, listening to the players walk down the tunnel, the sound of the studs on the steps. Just so many things you love about the place. You know, I'd give everything to go back there for one day. Have one match day there would be incredible.
Do you know, when we the last game and everything, and obviously I'd been there since the 70s, you still look back and we didn't appreciate it. We really didn't. And I was East Upper, I was Block E or F, I think. I can't remember which one. And I was like row 7. So it was. I had the most amazing seat and could hear so much and feel so much. And at the Emirates, I'm quite a way back, and it's just a total different. But we have to get on with it. I know that. I know we have to accept it and move on. But it was such a special place, wasn't it? It really was.
It's difficult. It's difficult. I think now people are accepting Emirates, and Emirates is a great stadium. It's a great atmosphere. It's not Highbury. It's completely different. There's no bar Goodison Park. There's no stadium like Highbury. But the good thing is we've all got the memories, and that's it. You know, we've got great memories of that.
Oh God, yeah.
And it's still standing. I walk past it nearly every day, so I feel as though it's still there. If it was flattened and there was nothing there, it would be heartbreaking. Yeah. But to walk past the marble halls, so I walked past I walked past it today. Always have a look in at Chapman, at Herbert, and give him a wave. So it's lovely. It's lovely to still be able to walk past the building. I take every time I walk past it, I take a picture of it.
Oh, it is just, well, I used to stand opposite the marble halls on the corner of Avenel Road. And oh, God, it feels like it was like a different lifetime ago. And obviously, I was a lot younger and everything was so different. Everything was just so different. I mean, the coach pulled up and we all tried to go and see them on the steps. And it's very different now because at the Emirates, there isn't one specific place where everyone stands. It's all different areas around and things. Yeah. But hey-ho. But you're right, we have got our memories. And I even took – so my son is nearly 20, not into football at all, but I took him when he was 4 because – I wanted him to say I was one of the last, you know, I went on the last season. All he was interested in was playing with the seats and eating sweets, but at least he was there, you know.
My oldest son went about maybe 6 or 7 times, and he's got a very vague memory of it. And I think that's perfect. You know, I'm so pleased that he has. And I've got pictures of him there as well, and my daughter in the marble halls with Thierry Henry and stuff like that, which is quite funny.
Wow. I haven't got those, Stu, surprisingly. No. Cole Stark says, have the signings of Jesus and Zinni had an effect behind the scenes at the club?
I think you just look at them and look at their mentality, professionalism, and their winners. You know, and then I think they're just great role models. Both of them are just brilliant role models and great guys as well. From the moment I first met them when we signed them, they're so... you know, so determined to do everything they can for the football club. So they've both been brilliant, absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, they really have. Okay, Lynn is saying Stuart, Josh, Edu, and Arteta seems as if they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. And do you think this is why Edu and Mikel have had the support because of the faith Josh has got in them?
I couldn't say that, but all I can see is everything's positive. You know, we've spent a lot of money in the summer on two incredible footballers. If they didn't have faith in Edu, and surely if you don't have faith in the manager and the director of football, we wouldn't be giving them the money to spend. But, you know, it's not a question for me to answer, really, but I can just see it. Everything's positive. So, you know, everyone's buzzing to be at the grounds. All the staff are happy to be working at the stadium. There's no negatives around at the moment at all.
The only negative is the World Cup came and stopped us all watching our team win week after week. And hope it hasn't stopped the momentum. That's all I can say.
Yeah. But I needed a break. I was absolutely knackered. So I'm sure, I think positively, I think it could help us, because a lot of the players haven't played a lot of football in the World Cup, and quite a few of the boys have had decent breaks. So I'd like to think we might come back a bit refreshed. I think the players will want to come back. We were 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League, and I think everyone will be buzzing to get back and get stuck back into it.
No, I agree. I hope so. Right, Melvin. Hi, Melvin. Welcome to the show. Does Stuart agree that if we only finish in the top four, it's not a big problem as our squad is so young and talented, we can go on to even greater things for years to come?
Well, I think I said that the last time I was on. I think the target is Champions League. But if you can get better than that, yeah, of course. But I think getting back into Champions League would be fantastic. But yeah, we'll see. Someone said to me the other day, do you think if we don't win the league, the season's a failure? I was like, oh my God, listen to yourself.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think you just want progression, don't you? I think if you get in the top four, obviously I'd love us to win it. First, second or third or fourth would be brilliant. But obviously, the higher up the league you are, the better it is. And if you can get a nice shiny trophy at the end of it, then fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. We've done brilliant so far. Okay, Andy said, who does Stuart think will be the next academy player to follow Saka and ESR into the first team?
Oh, I don't really want to say, because it'll put pressure on.
Yeah, I agree.
There are a couple of incredible young players, but I'm not going to name them.
Okay, so that's nice to know.
Yeah. They're doing some good work there.
Cole said, Stuart, can you hurry up and sort out the contract extensions for Saka, Martinelli, Saliba and Patino, please?
All right, yeah. I'll be there to take their picture when they sign their contract. I'm sure it's all in hand, so let's just wait and see.
Okay, right. Stu, you've been brilliant. Honestly, absolutely fantastic. This is your third time on the Same Old Arsenal podcast. Honestly, thank you so much. You know I always appreciate it.
No problem. Nice to speak to you at 10:13 on a Wednesday night when I thought it was Thursday.
I know. I did panic a little bit, thinking, no, Stu, we said Wednesday. You chose this day. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. Happy to have you come on.
So the next time you're coming on is going to be the end of the season.
Right, okay. Let's see.
Does everyone want Stu back the end of the season? We do. Oh, that's so nice. Carl said, Stuart is awesome, my favourite guest. Thank you, Amanda, for Stuart, for a great show. It's always down to Stuart. I love having him on. I just love chatting. Because you're my age as well. It's that era that you
I'm
understand.
Older. Amanda, I'm older
you are
than
only
you.
A few years. You were only a few years older than me. We watched the same football, though, didn't we? We grew up with the 70s at Highbury and stuff like that. And I'm going to leave you on this, because this would be interesting. Lynn said, Stuart, when is your biography coming out?
Oh, no. No, I don't think so.
When you leave Arsenal, perhaps, it would be an amazing book, that's for sure.
Right. Well, if it was a book, it would be a picture book. It wouldn't be a book of words.
That'd be fabulous, though, wouldn't it? All your fantastic pictures over the years. That'd be
I'd love to do one. Yeah, I'd love to do one, and I'd love to do it with my good friend Amy Lawrence. So maybe at some point we'll try and do something.
As Pud says, a life in pictures. Absolutely. I'll be fabulous. Right, everyone. So that is the second show of What Arsenal Means to Me over with. I've had two amazing guests. If you didn't catch Jordan last week, you can go and watch it. If next week, I've got next Wednesday, I think I'm doing a pod, and then we're doing quite a few pods straight after with lots of different guests. There's going to be lots of different fans on that have never even done podcasts. I've got two boys coming on that I've known virtually all my life that go home and away. And I think that Stuart might have taken the picture of him. I don't know if it was you actually that took it, but there's a whole crowd and there's one boy going like that. I don't know if you took that one. Do you remember it, Stu?
Well, I've taken a couple of million pictures in my time, so I can't remember all of them.
It's a whole crowd and he's the only one standing up. It's like on someone's head. He's coming on as well. Lots of different. So please subscribe to the Same Old Arsenal podcast below. Please leave your comments in the box below. Please press like as well. I hope you enjoyed the show. I love talking to our Stu. I really do. Stuart, thank you so much for coming on again and spending the time talking to us, because it really means a lot, because the connection between the club and the fans as well. Have a good evening, everybody. Stu, you're a star. I love you. Good night. Farewell. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. We'll soon be back at the Emirates. It won't be long. And remember, always Arsenal. Good night.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.